Blog Talk Radio.
very far over many lands and seas. He was very shy, and there was so much sadness in his eyes, but very wise, so wise was he.
Charismatic and all that. He just was. Even when he sung the national anthem, I mean, it was Marvin Gaye. You know, it was just unique. It was special.
Can you see
Franklin. Jim Lee's Underground Radio Network is now on the air. Excuse me for that long delay, but today happens to be a very special day. I play a different version of Lift Every Voice and Sing. Normally, I play my man Ray Charles because it provides an up-to-beat, call back Chandra, I lost you, Chan, an up-to-beat point of view. But today happens to be the Queen of Soul birthday. Now, me and Ebony always have an argument on the queens and this and that. She wants to say Diana Ross the queen of something. I say she ain't the queen of nothing. She said the queen of Motown, what have you. But here's the original queen. Beyonce ain't no queen. Here's the original queen. Today is her birthday, Aretha Franklin. So this song is for you, Aretha. Call me back.
Today is your birthday, and I wish you many, many, many more. Oh, today is a special day, one you never had before. I'll send you flowers by the hour, candy and perfume. I'm gonna shower you, precious baby, birthday baby, tonight. Oh, today is your birthday. I wish you many, many, many more. Oh, today is a special day, one you never had before. I'll send you flowers by the hour, with candy and baby, birthday baby, tonight.
Queen of Soul. I'm not going to kick it into my commercials. I got my guy Toby Miller hanging on. I'm waiting for my girl Tara Stamps to check in with me. And I have my girl Chandra on. And hold on, Evan, I'm going to get back to you on that note. But before I do anything, everybody, how's those brackets? How's your brackets doing? Now, I'm going to be honest with you. I kind of don't pay attention lately to the tournament, to the Sweet 16. Because, you know, after North Carolina got out of it, you know, I go for the black colleges. If they don't get past second round and I ain't saw no interest in basketball, I kind of leave it alone. Now, I miss this team. You know, I miss this team. It's Florida Gulf Coast University. Now, everybody on the bandwagon now, you know, I kind of like Georgetown, you know, a lot. And I was going for Georgetown, and they put Georgetown out. And I found that like, whoa, that was hot. You know, they put Georgetown out. But that kind of hurt my feelings. But then the next time up, they had played another team they had played. I forgot the name of it. So they like the three in a row. Now these guys are off the charts, and it I think it's Florida Gulf Coast University. Now it's down there by the Gulf. And they kind of rocking. So if y'all brackets was messed up, blame it on them. Now, here's the funny part. Chandra, call me back. Here's the funny part. They made a song about it. Here it is. Now, I'm going to bring you in after this cut, Toby. I'm waiting for my girl Chan to get back with me. Come on, Tara, hit me back.
Dunk City. Dunk City. Dunk City. ducking on your team. Duck City, yeah. Never heard of us, but we knocking teams out. 20-point lead, but I know you see us now. Seed 15 versus number 2. The whole world thought that we were gonna lose, but they didn't know that we were gonna blow. Send the ball down, the Hoyas gotta go. We knocking threes down and throwing alleys up. Northtown knocked down, now we moving up. I know you mad now. Filled your brackets up, put it on your wall, and thought that was enough. But then you watched the game. Comer to Feeler, damn, rip your brackets up. Dunk City, yeah. Dunk City, yeah. Dunk, dunking on your team, yeah. Throwing alleys. Dunk City, yeah. Colston Fields, a worldwide star. Look at the paint on his car. Married to a model, team's playing really hard. You can't beat the team on FGCU Boulevard. We need to win pronto. Winning in the morning like Alonzo. Nacho Brown making shots like Rondo. Ego know what's up, yo. And Fort Myers got my seat back. We giving top seeds asthma attacks. Fans going crazy, the game's too packed. Fans going like, God dang, look at us now. Fort Myers on the map, nobody knows how. What you gonna say when we in the Final Four? Your team's talking smack, just look at the score. Fort Myers, stand up. You never watched the game, now you know what's up. There had to be the dunk of the year. Your top seeds should all be in fear. Throwing alleys.
Hailing from the school that you probably never heard of. We beat Georgetown, now they all trying to show love. We pull up in that green, we swerve up in that blue. We show up with a mascot, then we dunk on you. Cause we fly like a bird and we ball like an eagle. Smashing those brackets should be illegal. Wearing those crowns, man, we look so regal. 100 dogs down like a
da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-
wanna rewind and hit mission abort because they just lost to the team from the fort.
So if all you all messed up your brackets, blame Florida Gulf Coast University. They don't care no more. Just being where they are at right now, they so swag, they made a video and the song for it. Let me bring my guy Toby Millett in. I'm sorry I had you on so long, Toby. Come on, Chandra, waiting on you now.
No, you good, man. You good. My bracket's blown up, but as long as IU still in, I'm good.
Yeah, I heard that. I heard that. But what about that school, Florida Gulf Coast? Are you saw them yet? I only caught highlights. I missed why everybody need bandwagon. But now I'm watching them Friday. They got my attention.
Oh well, I was blown away when they took down Georgetown. I was like, oh heck no. So
hey,
yeah,
when you hit Georgetown, I hope they lost. I said lucky, you know. But then they won the second game, so I was like, whatever, you know, it's all rigged. But then seeing how they might make it all the way. That's all smooth. But check this out, Toby. I was supposed to have my girl Tara Stamps on tonight, and we was going to be dealing with the Chicago public school system. I'm going to try to get her back. I'm going to call back in the next 15 minutes. You knew I was calling at 8:15. And I was trying to also connect it with the Detroit school system because they got the emergency financial manager over there. And I had another friend named, but she's also... She was on when you had called, but I lost her. I don't know what happened to her phone call back. And I was waiting for Jason to call in to deal with that. You see, the mayor went on and closed 52 schools here in Chicago. And that's going to displace about 32,000 students. And it's kind of wild because you're going to have, let me give you an example. There's a school in Chicago by the name of Overton. Now, Overton is about to be merged with my old grammar school, Mollison, which I graduated from. Now, Overton got rebuilt, and it's kind of, you know, it's one of them high-class schools. They have lockers. They got an auditorium and a gym. Most grammar schools in urban areas, their auditorium is their gym, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And so they have a lunchroom and a library, and most urban schools, their lunchroom is the library. But that'd be talking, you know. So they got lockers. You know, they probably change classes. They got a gym and a playground area, you know, so they got big things. They must shut that school down and merge it to a school that has not even lockers, you know. They got their gym is the auditorium. I love the halls of Mollison, my alma mater, but Overton have so much stuff. Now, Overton is like on 49th in Indiana, and Mollison 44th in King Drive. Now, King Drive to Indiana, let me count the blocks out. Indiana, Prairie, Calumet, King Drive. We're looking at four blocks. You got four blocks. Four blocks east. Now, the school is like, the school is from 49 to 44. So that's what you're looking at. Five blocks south, four blocks east. About a mile. That a kid at the school. Now, we have a lady on the TV. I wish Tara was out here. I don't need her to talk to me a little bit more. I'm going to try to call a commercial break back, get on. The one that the lady's closing the teachers, closing the school's name, Barbara Bird Bennett. And the irony part about Barbara Bird Bennett was she went and did the same thing to the Detroit school system. That's why I want the, my friends from Detroit. Come on, give me a call, Chandra, man. The Detroit public school system to chime in because I want to see what her record is in Detroit. But anyway, she said that if any child has to go 0.8 miles to go to any school, they will provide their child with a bus. Now, I'm wondering why you're going to have a kid standing in front of a boarded-up school to catch a school bus to go to another school, which is dangerous because there's a lot of gangs in Chicago. Now, they're going to split all these schools up. Now, my heart goes out to all those displaced kids who have to go through that tormented gang territory back and forth. You know, but I'm a voucher individual. I feel that we should get our vouchers and have our black schools. But just for the sake of argument, I'm going to put that banter down on the voucher game. Now, here we have these black students about to be affected. Some on high-performing schools, they getting closed down. Some on low-performing schools because they lack the resources being closed down. But when you look at the micro, that's a macrocosm of it. But the microcosm of it is that there are 80% public school students are black or brown. 8% are white. 8% are white. The overwhelming majority are black and brown, but the overwhelming 80% of the schools are being closed are black schools. And out of those black schools, the funny part about it is, out of all the public schools, the teachers in Chicago, between 14-18% of them are black. I want to say 14%. I really solid saying 14%, but just to be given a break, I say I err by three. I say my errors are 4 points, but I'm quite sure it's 14%. And out of that 14%, I know this number is not incorrect. 1% is black man, black male. Now, they say these schools are underperforming, underutilized, because the schools are performing now. The schools that were not performing, they're closing down, so they say they're unutilized, meaning that the schools are half, if you have a two-floor school, the one floor is being used, and the other floor is not being used, then it's underutilized, which begs the difference because you can put in those buildings and those rooms that are not being utilized, you can probably make one room a music room, you know, another room an art room, you know, another room a science room where children can go up in those rooms and have teachers and instructors helping you out there. One room, a choir, just for the sake of, you know, giving children outlets and things to do, and those things should be have. Now, one room could be held for counseling. So when they always say schools underutilized, those things can be held. So those are things that I wanted to chop it up with my friend Tara, but I can't reach her at this time. But what do you think about that? Toby, what's your comments on that?
Man, I'm just struck that what's happening to our babies, and it's just a damn shame what's happening up in Chicago. I hate to see the children so displaced, and I always look for, you know, other creative alternatives, kind of like what you just talked about, you know, identifying other ways to bring the community and other resources and assets into those buildings. Even if you created some really truly community schools, bring some local businesses up in there, doing some internships and some trade development for some of them young cats up in there, and really try to create some synergy around the school district, around the schools, I'm sorry. I know Chicago's had some unique features going on, but it just breaks my heart to see what's happening with all them children and all those displaced teachers. You know, I think it smacks of, I guess, it, in some ways, some of the same things we're seeing in Detroit. You know, and I think, again, I tend to look at it, you know, from that black nationalist position, saying, you know, African-American community needs to go ahead and take a long, hard look at ourselves and identify what we want to do with being about changing the condition of our people. And at this point, you know, when you look at what's happening with all them children, you have a community that seems to either be paralyzed or just struggling to discern what's next. And I wish I was as hip as I need to be on the education front, but I'm one of those cats who really supports vouchers, charter school opportunities, some specialized classrooms and unique systems. And I really am a proponent of community schools, creating synergy between the community, public-private partnerships, and leveraging non-traditional resources to help children learn. So that's kind of where I am, baby.
I'm there too, but I was trying to, like I said, get my friends to chime in on that. I thought Tara's going to come on, but she's not on at this time. And I had Chan holding on, but I dropped the car and lost her. But those are the sad issues. But back what I'm saying, it's like a double-edged sword, because you got all these parents out here on the front lines, which they should be.
Mm-hmm.
Fighting for their children, which they should be. And here's the funny part. You see, you have the administration, the black administration, Barbara Bird Bennett. It's just not, because I see all issues of the game. I see the budget cuts. I see that. I see resources need to be in the school. I understand that. I see maybe if you've had more African-American teachers in the school system, maybe the turnaround might be high, and maybe the gang violence might be low. I can see some, maybe that's part of the problem. I can see all those things that cause the problem. I can see parents out here fighting to keep these white women jobs. I ain't tripping on that, because maybe they feel the white women can teach their kids better. I'm not saying all of that. But the fact that the administration, Barbara Bird Bennett, talks down to these ladies as if that what they're doing is right, and if you don't want your kid to have a decent education, you're wrong. Now, they're closing schools down facetiously, and I myself, you know, I can speak on it from the outer point of view. Tara, you know, right on. I call this girl about, we talk about, I talk to Tara about 6:30. All right, Jimmy, call me 8:15. I'll be ready. It's 8:30, Tara. I'm gonna give you the baby time. I know you're putting your baby to sleep, you know, but anyway. I don't want to, see, Tara's fighting. She fights hard. She's with the Black Teachers Union, and they're 14% of them, and they're fighting hard for the education of their children, and they see the problems. And I needed her to just explain to my listeners the devastation or the crisis that they are at. And I wanted her to you know, explain that. But until I wait, I'm going to try to give one call. While I'm trying to give her this call, let me go ahead and, in honor of my friend, Anita, Aretha Franklin, let me go ahead and play another song to you. Happy birthday, and Aretha Franklin. You know, I'm not going to say how old you are, but hey, today's your birthday. I'm playing a song for my lady, and then I'm trying to say guitar chant back on. I'll be right back with you, my man, Toby Miller, SGSU president. And by the way, we got the off-campus convention. Toby, I want you to get your opinion on that since I lost Tara, maybe. Chandra. Happy birthday, Aretha.
I couldn't shake your memory, and I never knew the sweetest love was the first. So what am I supposed to do about this curse? Oh, baby, I've got you to blame. And I'm calling, calling out your name. Oh, he was so gently. Oh, he was so
yeah.
Well, it seems like I did. It seems like I have dropped both of those calls. So I'm gonna just let it alone now, and go into my commercial breaks. Then let me go into my commercial break. Sometimes people are scared to talk over the mic. They can have all those opinions, but when you say put the mic to them, where they be at? Be back in a minute, everybody.
Tired, stressed out, or just need me or we time? Then Phoenix Rising, Baltimore's exclusive bed and breakfast, is the place for you. Phoenix Rising offers an unforgettable, rejuvenating experience with exquisite guest rooms. Find peace and calm in the Sedona Room or Haitian Room, or relax in front of a marble fireplace in the Serengeti Room. Call 410-462-2692 today to schedule your escape to Phoenix Rising. Visit us online at phoenixrising.com.
When were you last on an amazing vacation? I'm Tracy Lewis, leisure travel specialist with Pogo World Travel, and I'm here to tell you that you don't have to go it alone when planning the vacation of a lifetime. So the next time you're looking for expert advice on that perfect vacation, you've got Pogo World Travel every step of the way. Visit our website at gowithpogo.com today and find out why they say, go with Pogo World Travel and discover your dream of vacation come true.
Do you hear that sound? Well, that's the sound of back pain. Are you tired of nagging and persistent back pain? Whether you're suffering from a chronic condition or a recent injury, don't fret. Chiropractic has proven to be a natural and holistic alternative to pain medications and surgical procedures. Visit Dr. Todd Tucker at our Water Tower location on Chicago's Magnificent Mile for a free consultation and exam. Call 888-535-2381 to get started with your personalized treatment plan. That's 888-535-2381. Call now.
Does your insurance company work for you? Hi, this is Ken Robinson, President and CEO of Ken Robinson & Associates Limited. We are an insurance brokerage firm located at 5963 West Madison Street, Chicago, Illinois. Our phone number is 773-626-0883. We make the insurance experience easier by shopping for you, saving you time and money. Our agency features the best insurance products, giving you the most competitive prices. We insure needs for less, featuring life, health, annuities, homeowners, auto, SR22, bond cards, business owners policies, general contractors liability, and vacant buildings. Now, we also offer coverages most major insurance companies no longer offer. Please call for a free quote at 773-626-0883.
Attention business owners, radio show producers, and internet radio producers. It's time to crank it up for 2012 with quality radio production. Are you a record label needing hot album promos or EPKs for your new artist? Introducing CoolVoiceRadio.com. Does your internet show need a new intro or outro? How about a promo for your upcoming event? Are you a DJ needing a hot voice for your next hot mixtape? Imagine increased sales in your business from an internet radio spot. We've got you covered with broadcast quality radio spot production with the nation's top voiceover talent, featuring talent like John Heath, Kate Clifford, Bill Thomas, and much, much more. Visit us online at www.coolvoiceradio.com. CoolVoiceRadio.com or call 646-326-7800. Remember, nothing beats the right sound.
The number 347-838-9825, Detroit. Don't be scared of Jimmy Lee. Toby, what's your, before I go, since I ain't going to be able to stick with the topic that I wanted to stick with, let me ask you this question. What's your take on foreign policy? What's going on in America right now? If you don't mind sharing my people. Before, you know, I don't want to go too hardcore deep, but before you go there, Father, you know, you answer the question. If you ain't prepared to, you know, go that hardcore deep, I could go into some more poppycock while I'm waiting on my so-called friends to call me in, though, but... I thought I had all... Go on there, yeah.
Well, you know, I'm really interested in seeing what's happening, obviously, in the Middle East. I'm really challenged by, well, I'm interested in seeing how Obama's new, what appears to be a little bit more aggressive diplomacy is going to play out. I personally believe that, and I'm a little bit different, that I tend to promote a two-state solution for the Israel and the Palestinians, and actually believe that our foreign policy over in that area has been rather schizophrenic. And I believe we've not been as strong as we probably need to be. But also, I think we've been kind of wishy-washy in terms of just some overall principles. So I'm interested in seeing what's going to evolve out of the situation in the Middle East. I'm really challenged about things in Afghanistan. I actually don't think that we're getting the kind of outcomes that we had hoped for, and believe that if Canada was flying drones over American soil and popping people in on American soil, we might have an issue. So I can kind of understand how some of the folks in Pakistan be feeling. I'm kind of digging going after the folks who mean us harm as a country. So I struggle with some of the elements, but I can understand. And
okay,
overall,
President,
kind of tongue in cheek, I kind of accept it.
SGA President Toby Miller, put a pin in it right there. I didn't want to front on you and go somewhere and might lose you for a second. That's why I want to see where you're there for on policy-wise. But let me go poppycock right real second. Let me go janky poppycock one time for my people now. Then I want to come back to that, really, because this Afghanistan thing reminds me of Eisenhower and Vietnam, but I want to deal with that. And the drone situation, I want to deal with that also, because it's really a pressing subject about drones might be flying in America. But then I want to ask you, what's your take on Obama's trip to the Middle East, and what was your opinion on it if you followed it? But before you answer that question, today, everybody, besides being the great Queen of Soul birthday, the King of Pop, on this day, 30 years ago, the moonwalk was released to the public. Now, 30 years ago, Michael Jackson performed the groundbreaking moment, came at the end of the Billie Jean moment of Motown 25, which aired on March 25th, 1983. Although he wasn't originator of the dance move, they say James Brown, who performed the variations of it, the moonwalk lasted only seconds, but it captivated the world. Really, see, white folks kept me on this, and it's a black writer who blogged, not knowing that the moonwalk really was, Well, no, moonwalk, it was just a backslide, a breakdance move, really. I don't know why they call it the moonwalk. It was a glide, it was a slide, but they called the moonwalk. Mike put it out there, and from that on, it's been a hit success. So for today's, okay. I seem to have Chandra on. Right on, Chan. See, Chan, I got you. Didn't put you on. I'll put you on live now, Chan. Now maybe my girl Tara will call back because Tara was looking for Chan to be on the mic. Chandra, how you doing?
I'm fine. How are you?
See, I lost you, and I thought I lost you because I was playing Aretha Franklin. And I've been playing poppycock stuff till I got you back. All right. And then I dipped into foreign policy for a second, but now hold on that foreign policy thought for a second, Toby Miller. Chan, I got Toby Miller. Toby Miller, former SGA president of Central State. I got him on the line right there. Hey, Toby, okay. There go your girl, Chan. Just say what's up to Chan, Toby. You still on hold.
Hey, what's up, girlfriend?
Hey, how you doing?
All right, now I get my girl Tara back on because I'm trying to show a connection between what's going on in this public school system all through the Midwest. And I want to take on Barbara Burris Bennett. I heard she was up in Michigan school system also. But before I deal with that, Chan, I had just threw out some little information on Michael Jackson celebrating his 30th anniversary of Moonwalk. And my sister, my producer of the show, a big Michael Jackson fan she is. She ever makes me want to mention everybody like that. So.
Oh, yeah.
Right. somebody playing mic in the background right now. So what I'm going to do right now is go to the celebration, happy birthday, with Franklin, and here's the King of Pop, Ebony, your Motown 25 tribute.
One of the things I told him was that he thinks he's big now. I say, you are very big now. You think you're really big, but you will go into orbit. I mean, he went into orbit and never came back.
Thank you. Yeah, those, I have to say, those were the good old days. I love those songs. Those were magic moments with all my brothers, including Jermaine. But, you know, those were good songs. I like those songs a lot, but especially I like the new song.
We'll be right back.
right, Eb, there you go. That's your boy, Mike E. Love, right there. And let me bring, I got my cat Toby in. So I'm going to just throw it up in the air like this, Chan. What's going on with the Detroit public school system?
Oh, my God. It's like it's falling apart. It is falling apart. You mentioned Barbara Bird Bennett. I see that she's in Chicago school system now. She was a part of the turnaround team with Roy Roberts when he came as an emergency manager with DPS. And at that point when everything was going on with them, DPS was actually on the rise with our test scores and things were improving quite a bit. There was a $93 million surplus. And as soon as when the money gets out there, people just gravitate to the district. What can we do with this money? What can we do with this money? And now we're in a deficit. Teachers are being laid off. There were over 300 teachers that didn't get called back to work this year. Right now, it just seems like it's in total chaos. Teachers are being suspended and written up, and this evaluation tool that they're using, it's almost like our educational system is just falling to pieces.
Well, did they close any schools down in Detroit?
Oh, there were a lot of schools closed in Detroit. The schools that were closed in Detroit were turned into EAA schools, the Educational Achievement Authority, and also charter schooling. And now they have this program, Self-Governing Schools, that's actually going on right now.
Self-Governing Schools.
Mm-hmm.
Well, you know, they closed about 51 schools here in Chicago.
Wow.
Under your girl Barbara Bird's Bennett plan. What type of person is this lady Barbara Bird's Bennett, if you don't mind talking about her? What type of person is she?
In the beginning, she appeared to be straightforward as it related to education, and then she disappeared. So I'm not sure what type of input she really brought to the table. All I know is when they called themselves the turnaround team, they did exactly that. They turned the school district around from an improving school district to a completely declining school district.
What do you think her role was, Barbara Bird Bennett? What do you think her role was on? What hand did she think she played in, if you can comment, if you have the authority or information? If you feel free to speak on it. What role do you think she had in playing in the system that in Detroit, failing Detroit public school system? What role do you think she had?
I think when you're being paid to do something, you're going to do whatever somebody tells you to do, whether it's to benefit the kids or not. If somebody tells you we want to close the X amount of schools to get the charter system going, then I think she played a big part in that. I think she had a lot to do with that. You know,
so
her name was all over the place. Barbara Bird Bennett. Everybody was afraid of Barbara Bird Bennett. So if they were instructed to, we're going to close this school, and this school, and you're not going to do this, and you're not going to do that, then they followed that lead. Whatever was instructed, that's what happened.
So Barbara Bird Bennett, she's kind of like a dictator. Basically,
yeah.
Because she was on every news channel Friday, Saturday, Sunday news shows, talking about I have the authority, I'm running this, I'm running that, and everybody was like, "Lady, come on, well, you know Rob is running that, what have you." But from the places she's been, Cleveland, Detroit, D.C., it's always been failure where she's been, the places she's been to, and it's been difficult to get people who had her on firsthand, but. What I was trying to make is, do you feel that she enjoys what she enjoys? First, do you feel she enjoys what she's doing? I mean, that she, or do you feel that she feels that what she's doing is right? Whatever she's doing, or whatever method she's trying to apply, or whatever she's doing, do you feel that she probably in her heart of hearts or what have you, that she's doing the right thing, or you just think she's just playing by the highest bidder?
I think she's playing by the highest bidder.
Could you elaborate? You know, could you explain Real Talk Chan?
When I read articles and I hear things like Barbara Bird Bennett has a second job working with Eli Bro. Well, Eli Bro, the Bro Foundation was totally against unions and anything right now. As you know, with every emergency manager, the goal is to break the union. And what better way to break the union than start to close down the schools, start to shrink everything that has some kind of power and money in it. And I just really think that, you know, it's a bad thing when you start stepping into the school districts doing stuff like that. It's like, what do the kids really have to look forward to? And everything new is not good all the time. So if the goal is to bust the union, okay, that's one thing, but what are you doing to the kids? And it's just going from state to state. And I really don't understand how government is kind of sitting back on this and letting this actually take place. We had Detroit Public Schools that were closed here when Barbara Bird Bennett was actually with the Broad Foundation. And then I'm reading now that Barbara Bird Bennett is still with the Broad Foundation but working through Chicago schools. So I think the whole ideal of it is to privatize and dismantle and destroy everything that has some kind of structure. If they can break the biggest systems, now Detroit Public Schools used to be very strong. If they can break Detroit Public Schools and Chicago schools down, then the smallest towns are, you know, it's just a matter of time before she goes. She came, left Detroit and went to Chicago. Where is she going next?
Been in Cleveland. Hey, Toby, you have anything you want to say? You want to jump in? You jump in anytime, Toby. You feel free to lift your mic over. Matter of fact, I don't know this caller from 704, but I'm going to just jump her in and see, or he, and see if they have anything to say. 704, how you doing?
Hi, how are you?
All right. Who is this, 704? Your name?
My name is Susan Birdsong, and I'm from Detroit, Michigan. I live in Charlotte, North Carolina.
Okay. Do you have any comment you want to hold on and listen to it so I can let my guests continue to flow? I was trying to see if anybody had any questions they might want to ask Chandra.
Well, I just jumped on the call because I just left rehearsal, so I was just trying to listen to what was being said about the Detroit Public Schools. I'm a product of that school system. I know how good the school system, you know, once was, and it hardens my heart. I mean, it hurts my heart, excuse me, to hear that the school system, you know, has failed. The school system here in Charlotte, you know, is declining as well. And yes, we have closed schools, not as many as Detroit, but they have closed schools here in Charlotte as well because of deficits and different things like that. But it hurts my heart to hear that this, you know, Barbara Bird person is doing what she's doing and then going like a locust, going around to different school systems and tearing them down. I don't understand why she's doing this.
Well, she's in Chicago right now, and as of Friday, we have closed 51 schools, some high-performing schools. Some, they say, low-performing schools because there's not enough resources put in them, like libraries, counselors, or gyms,
right,
or music, science, arts, you know, rhetoric, you know.
I understand.
Cleveland and some other areas, but I figure Chandra, she kind of dealt with the lady and is probably a product of what she has left back in her wake of destruction. Toby, you have anything you want to jump in and ask Chandra, anything you want to say or ask him a question?
Well, I was kind of intrigued. I was starting to look up Sister Bennett and her experience there in Detroit,
mm-hmm,
and what we may be able to glean from it. And it does sound like she's the press, she's almost a darling of the press. They've been in love with her for a while. But she seems to have made her mark as a turnaround cat. But that's almost at the expense of a bunch of teachers. And it's
mm-hmm,
just amazing to see how she's come into Chicago, and some of her early work is to advance a wholesale closing down of the school system, of schools. And I think it's unfortunate, but the impact of that, those kind of decisions has, you know, severe ramifications and for the community. And I think, you know, any of those kind of decisions need to be rethought we need to probably bring in some different kinds of ideas, because obviously in the wake of her behavior, or I'm not putting her down per se, but the wake of what she left in Detroit wasn't pretty. And if we're looking
at
some of the things in Chicago, then the community needs to, you know, put her on pause for a moment and say, wait. And I know Tara and Justice and them have been fighting this for a while. It just seems like, you know, the tea leaves are being organized in such a way to really undermine or replicate the disaster that happens in Detroit, and that's just a shame.
Mm-hmm. And you know what the biggest thing is too, all of the schools that closed in Detroit, they're abandoned buildings now, and to where they've stripped these buildings to nothing, and it, the same thing is going to happen in Chicago if somebody doesn't step out there and just try to deal with this. I don't understand how people can, the same person can go from state to state and do this. And if you read articles about all these people, these emergency managers and CEOs that are traveling from state to state, they're doing the same thing everywhere they go. So it's almost like if you're not on it, if you're not reading about who's coming next, what's getting ready to happen, then, you know, what do you do when they get there? Who's going to stop it?
Right. That's my point, because we only heard of Miss Barbara Bourbon, you see. And that's why I'm glad I have you on, Chandra, because I want everybody to know what they're dealing with and who they're dealing with. I just like Chandra. Tara, if Tara was here, she would probably say something like this. The lady, this is the last stand. This is Barbara Bird's Bennett. Hearing it right here on Jim Lee's Underground Radio Network. Yeah, because Republicans aren't going to stop her here in the Shy. Because we're going to show the world how to protest, because it's not happening. It's not happening. You see, I don't know if she had 30, 40, 50,000 people at her front door every day picketing her. Matter of fact, she cut schools, closed schools, went on a vacation. Like, I'm out of here. You know, I'm out of here. She has to come back. And
well, Jimmy, I got a real quick question. How do we reconcile her apparent approach to public school or public education and her relationship with the unions with our typical approach to public education from a Republican or more conservative viewpoint, which doesn't necessarily, or is not necessarily friendly to labor? How do we reconcile some of that? Because every time I think about charter schools and vouchers, which I do support,
mm-hmm.
I at least have a moment of where I pump my brakes and think about the legitimate champions that you and I both know who are in trenches as public school educators, advocates, and particularly from the side of the labor side. So how would you reconcile some of those principles and beliefs?
Well, me personally, see, it's you see, this is what's really going on. This is the argument that I'm posing here in Chicago, because it's a very touchy situation here. You see, because in Chicago public school system, you have 14% of the, you have 86% of the population African American, 14% of the is black, 1% male, and I believe that played part in the roles or what's happening in the Chicago public school system. With that being said, we had a strike earlier, and the strike was funny because the teachers didn't need the things like books and hair conditioning and counseling for the new challenger teachers that they had. That's true. But we was marching to make sure middle-class white women had their jobs and intact because of the low population, even though it's a high population of African-American students. So when I look at that, the taxpayers here in Chicago are paying for the school system here. They're not getting their money worth. I feel that my mindset is on something that may sound revolutionary to a lot of African Americans because they so rolled with the Democratic Party is that these universities, i.e., Alabama, A&M, Alabama State, Central State, Jackson State, that have a high rate of teachers. Mm-hmm. I found that these universities form teachers' colleges, which they have in the universities, and when those teachers get out, I feel that Central State should have a charter school here in Chicago with a teaching elementary ed school and education, and we can use the voucher money to fund that. I believe right now in the board versus education, specifically the board of education, separate and equal, can be justified through vouchers. This is me because black folks, this is me, just realize that each one teach one, we're going to be able to teach our own selves if we had the funds to teach ourselves. That was the argument in the 50s and 60s, but now that argument is null and void because you can do it right now, but we're so caught on, we demand that the government take care of us. It's as if that let's stick a gun to the government and say, you better give us this money when the money is already there because our tax dollars paying for the money instead of saying, give me my tax dollars, allow me to educate my child because you can do that now. Mm-hmm. But the problem is there's not a lot of institutions in place right now for that child to go right now. So I just wish a lot of black college educators be like my great heroine, Marva Collins. Back in the day when I was a little child, I saw the Marva Collins story. I had to be like 9, 10, 11, something like, around that time. I can't remember the age. But Marva Collins was a lady who got tired of the Chicago public school system, and she realized it wasn't teaching everybody. Why Johnny couldn't read was a big motto. Why Johnny couldn't read because he didn't get all these things. But she wanted to prove Johnny could read. And so she took some books out of a garbage can, opened the Marva Collins Westside Preparatory School, about 2 or 3 students, 4 or 5 students, whatever. That school blew into one of the model educational spots in America. You had people like Dexter Manley, graduated all the way to college before he got signed with Russian Risk. He had to come take class with Marva Collins because he couldn't read. He taught him how to read. Mm-hmm. You see, because as a black woman, realized that they're not teaching our children. They have not been teaching our children since I was a little boy. And even though we have such fine teachers, a bunch of my friends are principals, teachers, deans, administrators, up and down the educational spot. Matter of fact, I was a history major and I did education for a second. So it's about you do not get into teaching for a lucrative lifestyle. There's nobody that's teaching to be a millionaire. It's not something that you do to obtain a lucrative lifestyle, but that's one side of the coin. But on the other side of the coin, I feel that we're not getting our bang for our buck, and it's easy for somebody like Barbara Bird Bennett to come in and say that you're not teaching when they put the game, when they do things like eradicate black men and women out of the educational system. And how can a white woman educate a black man or a black woman? She's already looking down at the black mother coming in and say, baby, your kid dirty and hungry. You're a bad mother. Barbara Bird Bennett already talking down to black mothers like, you stupid ladies, what's up? Y'all want your kids to have better education? Not realizing, hey, lady, my son's a GD. You about to put him in a school with a bunch of stones. He's going to be dead by the time he walk home. Are you crazy? You know, not understanding that, no, gangbanging don't start in high school. It really starts in grammar school. So you survive in high school. You made it in high school. That means you dodged a couple of bullets. You being out at 16 anyway. You know, so you're only doing 2 years of high school regardless of the fact they got you when you was motherfucking sixth grade. Even younger, fourth, third, you watch right on the block watching. So they don't understand that whatever block you from, whatever neighborhood you from, that's the gang you rep. Not really understanding that. So when you have my lady out here, the union rep talking about you a murder mayor, that you sending our kids to death, and everybody's thinking she's sending extreme. No. She's not being extreme. No, she's not being extreme. When I was at Mollison, a school closed down. That's why I really feel what these people are going through. Same scenario. A school called Price closed down, merged with Mollison. Now, Price and Mollison always been an ass rival school. They came in there. Man, it was fights. They came out of sixth grade. We was not cool with those kids to eighth grade. And majority of them had graduated. So by the time I guess the little kids moved up, they kind of got there. But the sixth, seventh, eighth grade, oh, no, you banging. It was like, no. And you fought every day. You know, a lot of kids people stop fighting when people start getting kicked out of school. You know, when it gets serious, what have you. And parents start coming up there and parents start fighting. But don't understand the history of boundaries or the history of neighborhood boundaries. She's coming in saying, well, don't you want better education in your school? Is not saying that we're going to utilize these tax dollars better to make sure your school has a library. We're going to say, well, this school is underutilized, it's overperforming, this school is overutilized, and this school is not performing well, but it has too many kids. So we're going to close a not-performing school down and put it with an underutilized school. Now, in my mind, it's a trick to it, because if you got, let me say, you got a school for 300 overperforming kids, and you're going to move about 600 underperforming kids to these 200-300 overperforming kids, their numbers just went down already. Already, their numbers have went down already. Now that school has officially become underperforming, not off the test scores, off the numbers.
Well, look at what happened in Detroit. It's just a symbol as a marker and a map. When the school started to close in Detroit, I took a marker and I just started marking off on the map to see what schools were closing where. And everywhere they were opening a charter school, a DPS school was closing. Everywhere in another area where a DPS school was closing, an EAA school was opening. Some of the schools that made AYP, those schools closed. The school that I worked in last year, we made AYP. They closed our school. That was a brand-new building. And now if that brand-new building is being operated. In fact, two brand-new buildings in that area are working with the EAA school system. So it was strategically planned out where if we shut the school down over here, then they won't really have anywhere else to go but to the charter school. So all of this is about privatization. If they can take it over by shutting you down and one group here and one group there, well, just because they're closing a school there, that same building that they're closing, if the building is not up to par and not good enough, then they'll get a company to come in and revamp that building and open it up for a charter school. And from what I understand, Barbara Burr Bennett right now in Chicago is making $250,000 and still working with the Bro Foundation. And the crazy part about all of that is I read an article the other day where American Federation of Teachers was backing her on a salary with this Common Core standard thing that they're doing now. They're backing, she was, the union was, American Federation of Teachers was backing her on that. So you see the conflict in that?
Uh-huh. That is a great conflict of interest. Why don't you send that information to me on Jimmy's Underground at Gmail, so I can get that to some people here in Chicago so they can see that information.
But I have a question, Chandra. Chandra, I'm sorry. I don't want to mess up your name.
That's okay.
How do you feel about Common Core?
How do I feel about Common Core? Common Core, to me, is not a bad thing. It's not too far from standard GLICS that we've been following, because now, even with the Common Core being introduced to the district, you can still see the connection with the GLICS. We're even asked now to do lesson plans where you have to list the Common Core, but you still have to list the GLIC that matches it. So is it really a big difference? Is it really a big difference?
Because I kind of, you know, and this, Jimmy, this is where my politics comes in and kind of muddies the water. I think in an area where there's failing schools, it is an entrepreneur's dream. It's an opportunity to get in there
and
do something different. So, you know, while that's impacting public school educators, my thing is public school educators, hey, why don't y'all get entrepreneurial, you know, and start a charter right there, using your experience and your talents, and create, you know, in the midst of that mess, an industry that changes the direction and impacts the condition of our people. I'm with that. I heard some disturbing challenges a few years ago here in Indianapolis. We were talking about, you know, we're obviously having some you know, teachers union issues, and I heard a teacher say, my job is more important than the children in the class. And that happened, when I heard that, I said, you know what? This is why that's going to push me away from supporting any teachers union. Even though some of my best friends, and you know, Jimmy, they're teachers and they're in the teachers union. But I struggle with that mentality where the job is more important than the child. And if our children are in these reservations, the way I look at it, they are languishing in reservations, underperforming schools. I say, I'm not against privatization. I'm saying let's unleash the talents of those public school educators who often have their hands shackled to rubrics that are outdated and or don't really respond to how our children learn, and let those people be creative and take those assets and turn them around using those talents. And again, it's not about busting the union, but it's about really taking care of our children.
Oh yeah.
So,
but you know when I look at
there's a rub there.
Oh yeah. You know, you asked me how I felt about the Common Core. You know, if you're going to just change the name of something, but it still involves everything that already exists, and you just tweak it a little bit, that's fine. But then when you adopt, like our school district is adopting the Common Core right now, and they've got a really good group of young people, especially in the math department. I attended a workshop the other day for professional development with the math department. Those young people were right on point. And the aggressiveness that they use in distributing their information was all well and fine. But then when the questions started to come out from the teachers, like you have these different standardized tests that you want to use now, and then you say that the Common Core pacing charts are not aligned with the testing that you're putting out, then that means that we're teaching something that the kids are not going to be tested on. They're going to be tested on something totally different. So I think when you're going to introduce something, instead of just throwing it in little bits at a time, sit down and work on it before it's even introduced. Make sure everything is aligned and make sure everything is in order so that teachers are more susceptible to adopting and accepting everything that you're trying to turn over on the kids. You know, at one of the board meetings, there was a teacher from the EAA school that literally broke down crying at the mic last week. She's like, "I'm overwhelmed. I'm really tired." It's like the privatized schools are working those teachers so hard that it almost makes it impossible now. And I look at job descriptions that's being posted on the DPS website, and it says now is one of the requirements. You have to be mentally and physically able to maintain that job. So that means you have to be willing to take whatever is pushed out there. And trust me, I have been to hell and back this school year. This is my absolute worst school year. The harassment and the disrespect, it just drains the life of teaching right out of you. You got to be a really strong person or a really strong educator. Like, for example, I was teaching middle school math. Guess what I'm doing now? Because I made a complaint about the way that I was being treated and I stood up for myself as the union rep in that building, I get transferred to an elementary school, and now I'm teaching phonics to kindergarten kids that just came from Mexico. So it's like, how disrespectful is that? Is your goal for me to fail? But see, the way I look at that is a good teacher is going to make it work wherever they are.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm not going to let that break me either. That's fine. If that's the solution to what the problem was. But in the meantime, has anybody been over to that school to make sure that those teachers are not going through and getting what I've been getting? I'm not the union rep over there anymore, but my phone is ringing off the hook every day, all day. Because they don't have anybody over there to support them with anything. And it's just that bad, Jimmy, that people don't want to speak out. They have that fear, like Barbara Bird Bennett. The administrators were afraid of her. They were afraid to speak up. Whatever they say, even right now, our HR person was fired on Friday. I don't know what that was about, but she spoke at a board meeting. Next thing I know, she's fired on Friday. Maybe she didn't say the right thing. Maybe when the emergency manager say don't speak on nothing, don't say nothing, that's what he meant. So now she doesn't have a job. So all of this, it's like all this politicking in schools. What about the kids?
I can dig it. This is Toby again. One of it's just as you're talking, I can almost feel the pull on me in the way, you know, I tend to think about things. And it just led me to the and Jimmy, you can appreciate this. I'm sure Eddie's sitting there getting ready to smile when we talk about an Akan proverb that says, you know, in the fight between elephants, it's the grass that suffers.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that seems to be an appropriate description as to what's going on between teachers' unions and administrators. You know, all this fighting that we're having, and it's our children who are suffering.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, see,
right.
Yeah. Well, I'm trying to. I need the information on Barbara Bird and that connection. And I can see. I need to see if I can get you out here to these people in Chicago, Chan, so they can understand what the path of destruction that she has laid wherever she has gone. They need to know about that. You know, and when she came to Detroit, where did she come from? Did she have a track record for where she came from?
I'm not sure where she came from, but I'm definitely going to look it up.
Yes. Yeah, so how long did she stay in Detroit?
She was there maybe, I want to say maybe 2.5, almost 3 years.
3 years. What was there progress when she was there? I mean, can she point to progress?
Since we had a financial manager here, everything has been like going downhill from then. They come up with all these programs. We're going to do this. We're going to do that. This looks good. That looks good. They get the administrators in. It's almost like they go through a brainwashing session. And now, from what a friend of mine that's an administrator now, she told me that in their principal's meeting, they were told that if things are not going the way they're supposed to go in the school, if you can't find somebody to blame it on, it's going to be your behind. So you have teachers being written up for stuff that is not even their responsibility as an educator. You have teachers doing things that is not even in their job description while the administrator just sits back and just types, and says, we're going to write you up, we're going to give you a bad evaluation. You know, your evaluation on the PD360 tool that they're using here now. This woman lashed me so bad on this evaluation tool that no school district would want to hire me. If it wasn't for word of mouth or people who have actually worked with me and know that I live for the kids that I work for. It's like the people who know me for that is what has kept me in the district this far. But there's only a handful of people in the school district now who are able to say, you know what, don't bother that one. She's a true educator. Or don't bother this one. It's not like that anymore. We had the highest amount of National Board Certified Teachers in the city of Detroit. And from what I hear in one of the board meetings that we had, if I'm not mistaken, close to 75 National Certified Teachers, National Board Certified, and now we have less than 10% of them still here now. And then when the lady was questioned about it in human resources, she said she wasn't aware of that. So the school board questioned her and said, okay, so you fired all of these National Board of Certified Teachers, and she said she wasn't aware of it. So you see how far away from everything they are? You don't even realize you paid for these people to become National Board of Certified, and then you fired them. They're without a job. How sick is that?
Because the funny part here in Chicago, these, you know, people wonder if it's retaliation for the strike, because now a lot of these 52 schools are going to close. That's a lot of teachers that lost their jobs, a lot of custodians, a lot of chef, cooks. The unemployment level, even in the middle class, has just shrunk by just those closing. And then you're closing down the tax base. And then out to tax base, then there goes your resources. And then it's just a trickle-down effect that it has.
Mm-hmm.
But what you were saying, Toby, matter of fact, hold on, let me bring my lady from South Carolina. I'm sorry. You probably was talking, I had you in the blue room. You have anything to say down there, Miss South Carolina?
North Carolina.
North Carolina, I'm sorry.
My question to Tandra is, what's the root cause? I've been out of Michigan. I've been out in Detroit for a lot of years, actually 21 years. I've been out, you know, the school system. I've been out of the area completely. Mm-hmm. But my question is, the root cause of why the schools are closing, what years was this, you know, lady there doing all these different things? What years was she there? What's the root cause of why the school system failed and why the schools are closing and have closed?
I'm not exactly sure what year she actually came, but she was appointed by the emergency manager, Robert Bob. And she actually came in maybe a month or two after he did. And then, you know, and now we have Roy Roberts in place right now. There was not a real decline in DPS. DPS was actually at a point where it was rising. We were either matching or above some of the suburban school district when it came to test scores. So DPS was in a position to improve so much. And now we need a financial manager. How do we need a financial manager when we had a $93 million surplus? And now we're over $100 million in a deficit right now. So I can't say that DPS was in a declining position because I really, in my heart, don't believe we were.
Okay, so how do you go from a surplus of $93 million to a deficit like this? What happened?
I really don't know. When I read articles and pay attention to the court system to see who's being tried and charged for this and that, who's being fired for this and that, just total mismanagement of money. You have people coming in the district, a lot of new faces, new names, money disappearing. Total mismanagement of money. And it's not from the people who were with DPS. All of this stuff started to occur when the emergency manager came to play.
Okay, so the closing of schools occurred when? What year was this? Did this happen? Did this take place?
The closing of school, this is 2010, 2011.
Okay, so we talking less than 5 years ago?
Yeah.
So basically this was during the time of the financial crisis throughout the country, when the country was in a recession.
Yes.
Okay.
And then you have to remember, like, Dave Bing, who's our mayor here now, he had his own auto industry going. He closed his business, closed down. He sold his business off. He was his name was mentioned in several realms of opening charter schools. He was looking for educators to apply to open up charter schools under him, and now he's the mayor. So it's a political mess.
Well, my question is, if you're going to close down the public schools, well, let me ask it a different way. It takes that same amount of money to run the public school system to open a charter school. So now why pour money into a charter school? Now, there's nothing wrong with charter schools because I used to teach at a charter school. My question is, that same amount of money that you use to open a charter school, you can put that same amount of money into keeping the schools open.
Exactly.
And keeping your teachers, you know, teaching and keeping them in the classroom. So how does one explain that? If you're going to close public schools, you know, and then open charter schools when there's, you know, the test scores, what were the test scores like? Were the schools failing? Were the kids failing? What?
You know, another thing, too, is something that I noticed and something that I had always questioned over the years is that a lot of money was tied up into contracts with book companies and supply companies where they would sign contracts for such a long period of time. And then if they get new books or new whatever, because they have contracts tied up somewhere else, they could be sued if they break those contracts. So that's another surplus of money gone, just from contracts. And then the first emergency manager we had, Robert Bob, they were saying that his wife was working for the book company that he signed the contract with. So it's almost a win-win for them, whether they're here or not.
Mm-hmm.
Whether they stay or go, they're still making money off of the school district because they locked those contracts in. Then they said the governor was a part of the bus system here. the school bus system, somebody in his family, because they shut the DPS bus system down and they did the privatizing thing with the custodial companies and the bus companies and the book companies, everybody in the supply company. You know, we don't even have our own security anymore. They're outsourcing to a company called Securitas, and they're allowing, you know, because our DPS security, who knew the kids, where it was functioning well, they got rid of all of them. It was almost like they served no purpose with the district, and that's when the initial chaos started with the kids, and when they got rid of our security.
So it sounds as though, you know, in listening to you, it sounds as though the root cause of why schools are closing is because of money and finances. It
mm-hmm.
had nothing to do with the grades. It had nothing to do with schools not performing. Is that what I'm hearing you say?
Exactly.
Okay. Okay.
And what's going on here in Chicago, so they say, see, there's a thing where the school they're going to close, they say they're not going to put charters in them. That's what they're saying.
Okay, because, well, that means they have another private sector that they're going to put in there. It might not be a charter.
Aldermen and people are looking at the buildings to... a community service center, yada, 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 yada. But here, this is where I'm coming at. Chicago, for a second, or anything, if y'all Detroit, North Carolina, Annapolis. And, you know, we had chances for these people in Chicago. Don't go downtown to City Hall marching in front of Mayor Rahm Emanuel. Take it to your alderman. That same energy y'all got fired up, take it to your alderman. They close your school down. Now, I don't have the paper in front of me, but Pat Dyer was quoted in to say that you're happy with the six closings that you have in your district. You got six closings in your district. Everybody got, what, three, two, four? You had, what, six? You've been satisfied. You should have been pissed off that you got six. But, like I said, go to your alderman. Protest in front of your alderman. Put the heat on these people. We Chicago. We ain't Gary, and we damn near hate to say this, y'all. We ain't Detroit. We don't get rolled over like that. You know, I don't know what this lady thinking is, but we don't get rolled over, you know, like that, you know. Hold on for a second. I think I have Chandra. No, Chandra, I think I got my lady. Is this Tara? Is this you, Tara?
Yes.
Okay, now I got Tara. Tara, we're just breaking, it's the last minute you called in. We're just breaking down this lady, Miss Barbara Bird Bennett, and Chandra. Was telling us the destructional damage that she has left here in Chicago. But the point I was coming at, like, you know, I wish these picketers just take it to the alderman, because the alderman signed off on these closings, and I think that that's where they should go down. But Tom, why doesn't everybody know what's going on here in Chicago? What is Barbara Bird Bennett doing to the Chicago public school system?
She was brought here ostensibly, really, just to destroy it, to decimate the public school system in the city of Chicago as we know it. But Jimmy, people like you, your mother and my mother, and us, of course, who grew up with the understanding of the Chicago 21 plan, and if you have any understanding of that plan, then you understand that all of this kind of ties back into that. So the Chicago 21 plan called for the ending of public housing in the city of Chicago by the 21st century. We look at many of these communities that have been destroyed either by the dismantling of the public housing situation. It's really the schools that fed into that. In many instances, the schools have fed into the public housing, or the public housing fed into the schools. So the communities on their own were just already beleaguered. They was just ripe for takeover. But all of this privatization is, to me, I said at a special call meeting a couple weeks back at the Chicago Teachers Union, it may not be a Holocaust, but this is definitely ethnic cleansing. So it's about making the inner cities so uncomfortable now for people of color, and when I say people of color, I do mean black folks, that they have no other choice but to flee. So if you're already not working, and you're already having a housing crisis because the prices to live in the city of Chicago are so high, then they take away the public school system, which you were dependent upon for your kids, then you now, all of your basic resources have been just wiped out. So you have no other choice but to leave the city. And hence, that's why you have all of these throngs of people. They go to Iowa and probably by now Utah, Milwaukee, Wisconsin, all these places, you know, north of us. For a better quality of life. But that's primarily because the federal government and the vouchers and all of that are still accepted, where in the city of Chicago they've just made it virtually impossible for you to have a decent quality of life.
Mm-hmm. And that's exactly what's happening here. It's so bad here. You have people who are in public service positions that don't even have gas to get to work. You know, they're doing fundraisers for police officers here that can't even get to work to protect and serve like they're supposed to. And then you have teachers going to school who are having so many different problems. It's just awful. It is absolutely awful. And then when you sit back and you look at, for example, Barbara Bird's been with $250,000, plus she still collects a salary from the Bro Foundation. It's double dipping, and it's a double standard. And it's just totally destructive. You bounce from place to place to place with this six-figure salary, doing what? And doing what for your own people? It's just sick.
Oh, nothing. But you can't even depend on black folks to support or aid black folks. I mean, she was sent here primarily for that reason, because she was a black face on this problem. I mean, since slavery, we've had black folks to do the bidding of their masters. I mean, so her position that she has taken is not new to us. It's just it never stops being painful.
Mm-hmm.
But it's not new. And I mean, anybody with a modicum of sense should have known the level of play when they brought the woman in the first place. And all of us was like, what's his name? John Rizar didn't have the balls. He didn't have the moxie. He didn't even expect when the Chicago Teachers Union strike happened, everybody was caught unawares, because the whole thing was to cripple the union and make it virtually impossible for the union to even take a strike. So the fact that that happened was beyond revolutionary. It was beyond what anybody had thought would happen. But the problem was he didn't have what it took to break the yoke to that. So they brought in, you know, this woman, the Terminator, I think they say they call her, you know, mm-hmm. to come in mm-hmm. with this hatchet job. But this is, you know, Jimmy, thank you. I called late because, like I told you, I'm on spring break. I got familial responsibilities that I must attend to. But
I told everybody the sweet mommy thing. I told everybody.
Yeah, it's real, because this is the thing, and Jim, you got to understand, everybody understands this. I don't know, Jim and I, you know, we're children of revolutionaries, and oftentimes that meant children being sacrificed, actually time cut, because your mama was doing freeing the people. That's our own inside joke, but I made a conscious effort that's not my children's story altogether. But this is what I just want to leave the show with. Until this city, and like you said, we need to take it to this alderman, because until this city sees that it is a systemic problem, it's a citywide problem, it's a problem that's going to affect every community in the city, whether it's black or white or other, you cannot have this kind of widespread dismantling of whole structures and lifestyles and not feel have a rippling effect. So we have a march. There's a big rally on the 27th downtown at the Daily Plaza, talking about what these school closings and
I didn't mean to tell everybody don't go downtown, because y'all got a march downtown. But I'm saying you need to take it down to these aldermen office, like, what's up? Because they ain't Tara. They ain't felt the heat, Tar. They don't know. They don't know, Tar. When I say they don't know, Tar, think about it. Don't know, Tar. Shorten their face right then, Tar. You see, they put in City Hall. They go out the back door. You know.
I know, but I agree. Actually, the Chicago Black Teachers Caucus is actually planning actions like that all the way through the end of the school year, I think. Some of the ask have been for parents and constituents with teachers to go down to these aldermen offices on their ward nights.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what I mean by saying make it more than just a teacher problem. This is a city problem, and it's certainly a black problem. So black educators are the ones that's disproportionately impacted by school closings. Black communities are disproportionately impacted by school closings. And all of this is, if you look at, once you follow the strings, it's all the same people getting bread off this, and they just figured out another way to get paid off Black folks, and it's called, you know, charter schools and privatization of public education, because they all in bed with each other, and none of this is about the kids. It's about white folks, and figured out how they, A, don't have to be responsible for educating Black folks, which is the one thing that Black people have coming out of slavery, and two, how to get paid at the same time. So for them, it's a win-win, and our people got to, whatever the distractions are, the ridiculousness that's on television, the ridiculousness that may be in their own lives, but everybody has to be accountable for what's happening to this generation, our time, right now, because it's going to have some serious, serious, far-reaching implications. And people are, and as long as they pose it like it's a teacher problem, then people don't see the impact. But it's more than that. It's the teacher, housing, children, job, all the dots are connected. But as long as you can just look at it through the lens of, oh, it's just the teachers in the schools, then you don't see the connectedness of it, which means you can go to your little downtown job and think that you're still safe. But you're not.
I agree.
And you know what I wanted to say, 100%. Too, is when they talked about the EAA schools, the Educational Achievement Authority schools in Detroit, they said that Detroit was going to be the guinea pig of it, and it would spread out across the state. Well, guess what? Warren Consolidated Schools and Sterling High Schools out here where I live, the superintendent and the mayor said they're not having that out here. They're not allowing EAA and charter schools to come into Warren, and they stopped it. The group, there were three schools here in Warren that were supposed to become EAA or charter. They put a halt on that. So if they can do it, I know we can.
They can. The thing is, you got so many people that they're not putting stops on it because they bought and paid for it. They didn't already sold the rights, the land, the property that the school sits on, the communities that these schools. So it's beyond. If people were vested, first of all, you got a mayor that can't stand Black folks.
Mm-hmm.
What do you think about a nigga, whether it's Obama or Barbara Bird Bennett, or the homeless person is next to nothing. So the idea that you got this kind of mayor during this kind of time, the only thing that's ever going to change the tide of what's happening is unprecedented groundswell from the people, where the people begin to be unapologetic about occupying their schools and occupying their communities and being prepared to go to jail, to take a hit for what needs to happen to right this wrong. Because all of this is because people have not, like Jimmy said, felt the heat. They ain't felt no real pressure. And the problem is that they haven't felt any real pressure because it cannot just be a school. It cannot be Chicago Teachers Union proper. It has to be the residents. It has to be parents. It has to be students. It has to be community stakeholders. It has to be everybody.
Right.
Putting feet to the fight, because teachers have already been fighting all year, and then it's not just us that's going, you know what I'm saying, it's the lunchroom staff, it's the security people, it's the custodians, it's the kids. I mean, it touches every life. So until, I'm not going to say until, I'm saying people have to see the problem as impacting every part of your life. It's not just a teacher crisis. You know, and as, again, as long as we just see it down that very narrow tunnel, you don't see how it impacts you.
Exactly.
You know what I'm saying? And our people are so selfish and so bought off that they just lost in the sauce and it's painful. So again, the responsibility falls on those of us who know. And that's a minority of us. But it's the minority of us, again, trying to do the majority of the work and carry the brunt of the message. And it's just, you know, the purpose for which we've been called, which is why I made sure before I got my people together, Jimmy, that I called in. So I'm going to be there Wednesday, but I am in total solidarity and commitment with Jimmy when he's saying it has to go take back to these communities, to these aldermen. But I've been saying that since September. I've been saying that since September, because they've been in bed with them since September. They've been in bed with this whole thing. They've been watching this stuff go down. And the people that's going to be impacted are their constituencies. But one of the reasons they really need to be fighting is because they're coming for them too. They so dumb.
Everybody is next. Everybody is next. But listen,
everybody
here.
Everybody is next.
Everybody is next. Listen,
everybody is next.
I got this last 9 minutes on everybody to say things. I just want to get this little blast PSA because I had no commercials. I have Toby Miller. I have Tara Stamps. I have.
Oh, my God. Can y'all make sure y'all give him all y'all? I'm going to get all the information from you.
At Tandra Holden Lee from Detroit, and I have Miss North Carolina. What your first name is North Carolina?
It's Susan.
Okay, I got from North Carolina, but I don't know if she attended Central State University. But on June 27th through June 30th, it's the annual off-campus General Alumni Association off-campus meeting in Chicago is hosting it. And I would like you all to tell all your Centurion friends about it because it's going to be something grand and big. We have boat rides. We have concerts. We have plays. We might even have a beach party. We have a lot of things lined up. I just want to get that plug in. And I was hoping that this Tara, you called in late, and Chandra, I was hoping that if I can get you, Chandra, and you again, Tara, probably tomorrow, so I can really – I'm trying to get a nice little picture. I'm going to go get somebody from Cleveland also – trying to find a teacher from D.C. that also felt Barbara Bird, Bennett, Raff, and see if we kind of can get a picture of paint because it's difficult to fight an enemy if you don't know where she's from or where she's at or what her tactics is, you know, because you already think black women are ignorant anyway because don't y'all want y'all children better schools? You know, 0.8 miles. What is 0.8 miles? How far is 0.8 miles? Let me know that. You know, that dig it. Is that a mile? Is that a mile? What's 0.8 miles? How many blocks is 0.8 miles? 4 blocks? Ain't it? I don't know, but they said that. But anyway, I was wondering if I can have you, Chandra, if you're not doing anything in Tara tomorrow, so I can get a proper I lost Tara. Tara and gone again. Anyway. I want to see. I can get y'all on at that time to discuss
so what
it again.
Time?
Is that you, Chandra?
What time?
I mean, you know, 9 your time. You know, it's 8 Chicago. I'm on Central Standard Time. I'm like 8 to 10 all the time on Jimmy's Underground Radio Network. And they ain't got to do no sci-fi stuff tomorrow. But if you can call me, I can really get some, try to get a pointed picture. And I'm glad you called North Carolina. Toby, anything you want to say?
Thank you.
Well, it's just great to hear Tara and Susan. Here's a Centralian, Jimmy. Just want to make sure, you know, you popped into that. You kind of recognize Centralians all around coming together and supporting your show.
That's right.
But, you know, I always love hearing Tara and her passion. I definitely remember her mother, and that's her mother's daughter. So I just appreciate the opportunity to link in and get an informed perspective with this stuff. And again, I appreciate and salute your show, man.
All right, all right. Miss North Carolina, anything you'd like to say to my audience? I'm so glad you called. You can call in tomorrow. I really appreciate it because being a product of Detroit, that had a lot of insight. So if you're not doing anything, could you check me out tomorrow, free lady?
I sure can. At 10 o'clock, sorry, what time again?
I'm 8 to 10.
8
Central.
To 10, okay.
That's 9-11, you're on East Coast time. That's
no,
all.
No, I'm on the same time as you.
Okay. All right. Like I say, anything to my audience before I let you go?
I thank you. As a fellow Centralia, I thank you. I, too, feel as Toby, being informed of all the different things that's going on with the school system. It has impacted me because it has impacted my family. You know, and I am a product of the school system, and I feel very passionate about it. And it hurts to know that my school and my city, you know, has been decimated in this way, and we need to do something about it. We need new blood in the system. Mm-hmm. We need new blood, you know, in the city working, you know, to bring it back to where it used to be. Because Detroit has always been known for high standards in music, you know, and auto and everything else. And so we need to get back to where we used to be.
All right, all right. Okay, again, if you all I'm glad to have y'all in tomorrow, but this is what I do every night. I say, this is Jimmy's Underground Radio Network. I'm glad y'all listen to me. I had Tar Stamps, Toby Miller. I had North Carolina. I had Detroit. I had Minneapolis. I got Ebony. Hold on, Ebony, bring me in for a second. Ebony, she ain't made it yet. Ebony, where you at? Ebony,
I'm
where
on
you
the
at?
Road. I ain't far. I'm pulling up soon. I'm on the road. Hey, Chan, everybody.
Hey, Ebony.
Hello.
Hey, right. So if you also choose your bracket and your bracket's messed up, blame it on this university right here. This is Florida Gulf Coast University, and this is the reason why your bracket is messed up. Good night, everybody. May your God be with you. And don't forget to tune in tomorrow. We're going to try to find out who is Miss Barbara Bird Bennett. See y'all later.
Hey, okay. Somebody giving her an award, Jimmy. Some black group giving her an award. Urban leader, somebody.
Listen, I need an email address.
Well, I'll make sure everybody get it. Ebony makes sure, Ebony's going to make sure.
I don't have your number either.
I got your number. I got all y'all numbers. I make sure everybody can.
Never heard of us, but we knocking things out. 20-point lead, but I know you see us now.
D-15
versus number 2.
The whole world thought that we were going to win. Hey, I'm giving Tara all that numbers too, all right.
We're going to blow. Let it fall down. The Hoyas got to go. We knocking threes down and throwing alleys up. Northtown not down. Now we moving up. I know you mad now. Build your brackets up, put it on your wall, and thought that was enough. But then you watch the game. Comer to Feeler, damn, rip your brackets up. Dunk City, yeah, dunk City, yeah. Dunk City, yeah, dunk City, yeah. Dunk City, yeah, dunk City, yeah. Dunking on your team, yeah. Throwing alleys. Throwing alleys. Throwing alleys. Dunk City, yeah, dunk City, yeah. Colston Fields, a worldwide star. Look at the paint on his car. Married to a model, team's playing really hard. You can't beat the team on FCCU Boulevard. We need to win pronto. Winning in the morning like Alonzo. Nacho Brown making shots like Rondo. Ego know what's up, yo. And Fort Myers got my seat back. We giving top seeds asthma attacks. Fans going crazy, the game's too packed. Fans going like, God dang, look at us now. Fort Myers on our map, nobody knows how. What you gonna say when we in the Final Four? Your team's talking smack, just look at the score. Fort Myers, stand up. You never watched the game, now you know what's up. It had to be the dunk of the year. Your top seed should all be in fear. Throwing alleys.
Hailing from the school that you probably never heard of. We beat Georgetown, now they all trying to show love. We pull up in that green, we swerve up in that blue. We show up with a mascot, then we dunk on you. Cause we fly like a bird and we ball like an eagle. Smashing those brackets should be illegal. Wearing those crowns, man, we look so regal. 100 dogs down like a beagle. They looking salty when we beat them on their court. We took their playoff run and cut it short. They wanna rewind and hit mission abort. Because they just lost to the team from the fort.
I saw pictures of people like, ah, it's like,
So I brought the eagle with me and I sat him up at the bar the whole night.
Rick saying out there. Rick Hall. Oh, his fans out there.
May pull me up. I got the road, like, man.